Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, JP Finley.
All right, everybody. We're here, as promised, Redskins Talk Podcast, fresh from the Redskins' opening loss against the Eagles. They lost 30-17. At times, it was much closer than that. At times, it seemed not even close to that close, if that's a sentence. I am JP Finley. I'm here with Rich Tandler. Tandler, say what's up.
What's up?
I love when you get it right. That's the highlight of the day so far. The Redskins did not play well. We also got local celebrity Mitch Tischler here.
What's up?
Tischler doing well.
Neither
there.
One of us dropped that, by the way, which makes us ahead of some of the Redskins receivers.
Jeez, what a day. Tandler's got Jizz Oaks. All right, we are coming to you live from an undisclosed location on the field. Erin Hawksworth is looking at us and giggling. She's spying on our podcast. It's free, so you can listen to it anytime you want, Erin. All right, let's get down to business. The Skins were ineffective on offense. Ugly in spots. The run game was terrible. Kirk Cousins was bad. The O-line was bad. Did I miss anything? The receivers were bad.
I didn't even wrap up the podcast.
Right.
Pretty well summed it up.
Defensively, do you want to start on the offense? Defensively, I think they played pretty well.
They
couldn't get off the field on third downs, which is a problem that is plaguing this organization for a while.
Eternal problem.
They got pressure on Wentz early. Wentz is a tough dude to get down. That guy's
They got pressure on him the whole game, really. But he started finding ways to spin out and avoid the escape. And usually, he made a play.
I feel like that Jonathan Allen's welcome to the NFL moment was that Wentz spinning out of his tackle, throwing the ball downfield to Aguilar for that first touchdown.
Yeah.
That was a tough play for the young kid.
It was, and he's such a good guy. And I tell you what, I think, not to get on a tangent, but I think Allen is going to be a player in this league for a long time. But God, man! All right, let's start with this. Your play of the game, Rich Tandler.
It was the interception
at the goal line.
At the goal line, that Cousins just he threw off his back. He was under a little pressure, but he threw off his back foot. He said that he, I don't know. It's hard to.
I gotta watch.
Hard to figure it out, but he said he was looking at prior at first. And then I think he meant it took too long before he came back and saw Crowder. By that time, he had somebody in his face, got off a poor throw, and it was one of the easiest interceptions that I can't remember who it was. But
Jalen Mills, I believe.
Yes, Jalen Mills.
Was his first ever pick. All right, Mitch, you're allowed to double up, but you have to have a different take. What was your play of the game?
I wasn't going to double up. I think – going back to that first Aguilar touchdown, I think that was pretty deflating for that defense. They had three guys who had a chance to get their hands on Wentz.
And it was a long third down.
It brings back all the old questions from last season all over again. They're able to get to the quarterback. They're not able to get him down. It was third and 12. Something like that. I mean, that's a tough play to give up. And then for it to also be, I think it was Swearinger deep as well, it opens up the safety talk. It opens up the defense not being able to get off the ground, off the field on third down. I think that's a big question mark for the defense.
And it just kind of had them chasing the whole game. Yeah. You know, even though they did briefly take a lead, that still somebody gets a touchdown that quick on a play like that, you're chasing them the whole way.
Just because I can't double up, because clearly that interception is the play of the game. It was a terrible, terrible throw. You can't make that throw. Kirk didn't play well. A lot of people didn't play well, though. So I'm going to go a different direction with my play of the game. Terrell Pryor, first and 10 from your own two or wherever the hell they were backed up, deep in their own territory. It's not a good throw, but it's a catchable pass from Cousins to Pryor. It was high and a little behind him, but he's got to make that catch. And then they've got a first down. And if you think about what the Eagles did when they were deep in their own territory, really similar situation, Wentz found Bradford for an immediate first down. The Skins basically ran the mirror image
Bradford,
of that.
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, yeah, Jesus, sorry. It's been a long day. So Wentz finds Jeffrey for that first down. Kirk goes to his big receiver that's supposed to do the same thing. And, again, I'm not letting Kirk off the hook for a bad game. Pryor's got to come down with that ball. And we saw what happened after that. I think they punted on that possession.
Yeah,
but,
and then the Eagles took possession near midfield
right.
and drove in, for, got that,
field goal.
The field goal.
Two things. First, the Redskins love to throw the ball from their own one-yard line. Going back to last year, I feel like every time they have their backed
a
up,
lot
they
of
love
teams
to play.
Do.
A lot of teams do, and I don't hate it.
On that particular play, though, Ryan Grant was running wide open down the middle of the field, 50 yards downfield. Now, it's obviously a tough throw with your heels on the end line, but if he's not locked in on Pryor, Pryor should have made that catch. Pryor was open, but Grant was open for what could have been a 99-yard TD. There was nobody close to him.
I did not see Grant. We all got to watch the film. But the other thing was the second down play, the throw to Crowder, he got rocked, man. One thing I noticed from Kirk in the preseason that I saw today, he's high on a ton of these throws. He's setting guys up to get
crushed. Especially in the middle.
So
especially
Reed,
in the middle, and that's where you really get smacked.
All right. Let's see. You got any game balls to give out, Taylor? I got one. I got
Chris
a
Thompson.
Couple, maybe.
I got one.
All right. You start, Taylor.
Chris Thompson. He made the what would have been the play of the game if the Redskins had won it, that 29-yard touchdown reception where he made a catch, went to the middle, and just bounced off a couple of would-be tacklers. You can say bad tackling. That was also a good play. Kept his wits about him, ran around, and got into the end zone. And that was one of – do you have his – let's see. I think we looked at his numbers. He had
– four catches for 52 yards.
Four for 52. Yeah.
Yeah. My game ball goes to Preston Smith. Tough sometimes for me down on the field to see plays that – he doesn't actually make the play to see where he was in coverage and whatnot, but he seemed to find the camera a lot. He had the sack. He had a couple TFLs, or at least seemed like TFLs are at the line of scrimmage. So, to me, Preston Smith got my game ball.
Yeah, I think Preston's a fair call. We talked to him in postgame, and he was happy with his performance because if you remember, even when he's done well, it tends to happen late in the year. So, for him to be there first week, I think is really encouraging. But – my game ball, Zach Brown, man, makes a difference out there. Now, there's a couple plays. There was one play in particular where he should have gotten home on Carson Wentz. He didn't, but I think he had 12 tackles, a ton of pressures and hurries. Zach Brown looks like a difference maker for this Redskins defense. It gives them some much-needed speed. I thought he showed that. All right, we're going to go the opposite way. I'm going to start, and I'm calling no doubling up, so you got to come up with somebody else. Least value. I don't know if least valuable player. You could call it
GOAT.
GOAT game, but GOAT to the kids means greatest of all time, Taylor.
Well, not in this context.
All right, I don't know about GOAT, but guy that played poorly.
Come up with something better,
guy that played poorly
we'll
is what I'm
okay,
going with.
There we go.
Kirk Cousins played poorly, and to the run game didn't play well. The O-line wasn't there, but the quarterback's got to be better than that. I think. Two fumbles, a terrible interception. He could have had another interception in the first half that got dropped. Missed throws. Now, there were a couple drops, but Cousins was not good today.
Since I can't double up because that would have been my first answer, I'll go with the guy we talked about a couple of minutes ago, Terrell Pryor. He had six catches. You know, he ended up getting a few first downs, making a few big plays, but early in the game, he dropped a touchdown that would have been called back, but still, he didn't know that at the time. That was some momentum. That first thing, that ball,
that
pass down near the, like we just said, near the goal line. You know, just too many drops for a guy who's supposed to be, who's supposed to have big hands, big target, big catch radius. Hey, catch the ball.
The one thing I'll say is it was good to see the Skins offense open it up and at least throw some of those deep balls to him. He didn't complete any of them, but I think they loosened up a defense a little bit. My goat.
Can I say real quick before you do? I got to credit Pryor, though. He owned it in the locker room after the game. Pryor got a little tired of us asking about slow starts and is he connecting with Kirk this week. He said, let's just talk about it Sunday afternoon, which I was fair with that because we've been hitting him with that question for 3 weeks. But Pryor, after the game, I got to be better. I'm mad at myself. I think he handled it like a pro and as well as he could.
Fair. My goat, can I go with the entire interior offensive line? Yeah. There was a lot of pressure coming right up the gut, right at Kirk. And when that pressure is coming from the outside, he at least has a chance to step up and avoid it. But when it's coming right in your face, it's hard to not throw off your back foot because there's just nowhere for you to go. Those two, Timmy Jernigan and
Fletcher Cox,
really kind of dominated up front.
Well, and those are two pretty damn good players, too. I mean, Cox is all world. Jernigan's damn good, man.
But, I mean, Jeff's supposed to be a pro bowler.
Right, right. Well, and what we learned after the game, I saw him coming out of the x-ray room, was Morgan Moses was playing on a hurt ankle, and he got beat a couple times. I'm guessing that had something to do with it. Trent Williams came out of the game for a few snaps and then came back in. I think it's time to cool it with Hogs 2.0, man.
Put it back into beta.
Yeah, yeah. Mitch, you are our O-line guy. I confess to the folks that I played guard in fourth grade, but that doesn't really apply to the NFL. You played it at a higher level than me. What are you seeing out there?
I'm seeing guys who are getting beat off the ball. They're getting no push off the snap. The offense knows what the snap count is. They got to be able to get underneath the pads of the D-line, and they're kind of not doing it. They're getting stood up right away. And any hole in the run game, not that there was much run game to be had, but in the run game, those holes are getting blown up immediately. And part of it, I think, at least in the few runs that they had, they were kind of long developing run plays, which are tough when you're facing a front four as good as the Eagles have. But in the passing game, those guys are getting stood up immediately, and it's hard to win. You know, what is it? Low man wins, right?
Yeah.
And, well, they were not the low man often.
I tell you what, I bet they're hoping that Aaron Donald takes full advantage of the 2-week roster exemption the Rams can give him.
Dude, he might be ready to go. I mean, and truly, when you're a D tackle, maybe it's a new scheme. Maybe if he's out of shape, he's out of shape. But
right.
And you know, Sean McVay knows that D line, O line, very, very well, and is gonna have something dialed up with Aaron Donald.
Well, and Joe Barry's there too. Yeah. I mean, who knows the staff pretty well? The one thing I'll say that Tandler, you were right on about earlier last week. I don't know when all these days blend together. The Eagles run that wide nine. If you can exploit it, you exploit it inside where they don't have a lot of guys. But damn if Fletcher Cox doesn't make a big difference. Yeah.
That's how they can get away with it.
Hard to exploit it. What's up, Mayor? Say hi to the listeners.
What's up? How's it going?
That is Meredith Violi, who runs our Snapchat. Hopefully you guys are following us on Snapchat. It's CSNMA on Snaps. They're usually pretty fun.
Lots of good behind the scenes
stuff. Lots of fan engagement.
She's giving away our secret location is what she's doing right
this
now.
This is an undisclosed location.
This is an undisclosed secret location.
Can you gauze out the back or something?
Yeah, yeah. Just let's post it.
Yeah.
Throw in sepia tones. No one will know what's going on.
Disclose the location. We are hiding under the
awning.
The electrical tent right behind the Redskins bench.
This is where the Redskins coaches with the printers and the iPads are. And they
all the burnt out plays are thrown down on the ground below us. So there you go.
And there's a lot of them.
We've disclosed our location. Don't tell anybody. All right, we're going to do a little scoreboard here. Now, Mitch didn't get to guess on our over-unders, but your boy kind of nailed him. So I'm going to call out Tandler on this. Tandler, we set the over-under for Kirk Cousins' pass yards at 275. I believe you have the stats.
Yeah, I think it was – I want to say it was two.
So hold on. I'll drive this thing. So we set the over-under for Kirk Cousins at 275. I went under because last season – He averaged about 245 against the Eagles. I believe you went over because he averaged more than 300 for the season. Do I have the facts correct, Rich Tandler?
I thought he had stickier finger to receive.
Do I have the facts correct, Rich Tandler? Please, this isn't the time for...
You really don't need to draw this out, okay?
How many did he throw for?
He 240.
So
we would say Rich was...
Rich was incorrect. Okay. JP was correct. Okay. Listeners, we're going to need you to keep score on this and tweet us both, but especially tweet Tandler. Okay, we set the next over-under was Rob Kelly rush yards at 65 yards. I said under. Tandler, what did you say?
You guys just go.
Taylor's not talking anymore.
Taylor just handed me the mic. He doesn't want to be a part of it.
Come on, dude. You gotta accountability 101.
You're gonna tell him anyway.
So you had under 65 yards for Rob Kelly.
Right.
Okay.
No, I had over.
You had over. Correct. So what did Rob Kelly finish with?
30.
Yikes. That's under, right? That's under 65?
Hold on. As a team, did they have over 65?
It's 64.
My under's looking pretty good.
Survey says.
For Taylor. Correct for JP. So that's 2-0 JP.
2-0 JP.
2-0 JP. And our last.
I'm going to get a bottle of water. You got, just let me know when you finish.
Our last over-under was Terrell Pryor, 4.5 catches. I said over. Taylor, you said?
Said under.
And how many? I'm honestly asking this. What did Pryor finish with?
6.
So that would
six
be.
6 for 66.
That's kind of weird. 666. That would be Finley, correct. Taylor.
Okay.
So, yeah, hey, it's week
so
one,
know,
dude. It's
just
week
so
one.
You know,
there's a lot of football
we're
left,
do
Taylor.
This every week.
There's a lot of football left, man.
And when the tables are turned,
you're going to talk just as much shit as I'm talking right now. I get that. But we're going to have fun. And
yeah,
Mitch
okay.
is giving me the look. I'm going with it, Mitch.
Go with it. It's good. Three nothing Finley. Three for Finley.
Three for Finley.
Three
right
for Finley.
There. That was fun. That was probably the most fun part of my day. The other fun part of my day. Hopefully everybody's in our Redskins Talk Survivor pool. Who'd you pick today, Taylor?
I had the Steelers.
Who won? So you're good?
I should be good. Yeah, I think so.
I took the Rams, who have a commanding 27-3 lead right now that I'm watching. Mitch, are you in the pool?
I'm in the pool.
Who'd you take?
I took the Falcons, who just barely squeaked by on a fourth down stop at the goal line
over
the Bears.
Oh, wow.
I think they won by 6. Bears had first and goal from the 5 with about a minute left, and is it Glennon? Who's the quarterback?
Glennon
took a 15-yard sack on fourth down.
Oh, dang. Throw the ball, dude.
Yeah, just get rid of
that's
it.
Like, who was it, Louisiana Tech last night? Who was the college team that just had the
Louisiana
mockery?
Tech had third and goal, from third and 93 from their own seven. Third and
they
goal
had to punt.
From their own
fourth
seven.
Fourth and goal, and they had to punt.
From their own 7.
At least we didn't see anything like that today on the bright side.
True. Can we talk? Good.
I got one housekeeping item.
Go ahead,
do that.
Housekeeping.
All right, Taylor's got to reveal it. Taylor came up with a very good idea. So we've come up with a prize that hopefully, again, if you're a lawyer, cover your ears, or if you work for a lawyer or anything, none of this is real. But that there's our disclosure statement. Beyond getting to pick something out of Rich Taylor's closet, which is one potential prize,
that's not,
especially if we find the members
a
only jacket.
Prize.
Beyond that. We're going to let whoever wins the Survivor Pool come on the podcast. So you get to join us for 5 minutes. We'll talk about whatever you want
if
to talk
good,
about.
If you're good, maybe 7 or 10.
Dude,
if
good.
If you're better than me, maybe you can get my job.
At least Mitch's. Oh, Mitch is
and
sad.
And definitely Pete's.
No, you can absolutely replace Pete. So if you win the Survivor Pool, you can replace Pete.
Which means we get to make fun of you incessantly, which I don't know if that's a good thing.
That's true. Pete doesn't have the easiest gig.
Yeah,
Pete catches some heat.
He deserves a lot of heat.
Okay, that was our housekeeping item. Mitch had something to say.
I was just going to say the one thing that that I took away from today that I like seeing on the defensive side was after that Aguilar touch on that first play, Swearinger walks over to the sideline, and he is dapping up every player on the defense, getting in their ear, talking to them, being the leader that defense needs that really wasn't there necessarily last year. So, you know, depending on regardless of how they end up doing – Swearinger really seems to be embracing that role, and it's kind of a small takeaway, but a good takeaway from this game.
You mean Dante Whitner didn't go around getting the guys all
good God,
all pumped
man.
Up.
That dude should not have been on the field. Two things that you're talking about the secondary makes me think: if Norman catches this interception or Breland catches that interception, both were in the end zone or close. That's a different game.
Yeah, that Norman, that first play, that first deep ball was very reminiscent of Monday Night Massacre attempts. You know, that throw to Deshaun. They tried to do that with Alshon. First game back, let's go deep to him. And I got to tell you, that was a pretty great play by Norman. If he would have come up with it, that would have been incredible.
Yeah, he said he really wanted to get it, but he said he hit the ground.
He hit the ground
way
hard
high
too.
Up there.
Yeah,
way
and he went
high
way
up.
I tell you what.
Thanks.
I tell you what was pretty impressive. That Wentz threw one wild deep ball to Alshon, and Alshon there was safety help and
like
the corner
a third
was right
21.
There. And Alshon high-pointed that thing and almost came down with it. I think Breland just fought the hell out of it and got the ball out as he was coming down. But that was impressive from Alshon, I thought.
Yes.
There were a couple times that I was watching Alshon today, and I was like, man, he's getting old. Feels like he's a step slow. Feels like, and then he comes out and makes a play like that, or he gets up for a ball like that, and it just immediately you see the impact that having a big receiver who can go up and high point a ball perfectly can make.
Speaking of big receivers, where the heck was Josh Doctson?
What? How? Jesus! We're 20 minutes in and we haven't talked about this. What the hell? What the hell is going on there?
I have no idea about game plan or whatever else. Josh Doctson was on the sideline here, stretching his hamstring a lot. And whether that was just him trying to stay warm because he wasn't playing, or there's a tweak or something, who the hell knows? But how is he not out there at those goal line plays? That's why he's there. All they talked about all offseason was how good he was at those fades and how sure his hands were and how good he was in the red zone. And now all of a sudden we're in the red zone. They were in the red zone, what, four times? Just twice?
Yeah.
And he got no snaps, right? No red zone snaps.
None that I can count off the top of my head. I don't.
Ryan Grant had a lot of snaps.
Ryan Grant had a good game.
He did. Maybe it's the coming out party for him, but it's unbelievable not having Josh Doctson out there in those situations if he's healthy.
Yeah, you know, and then on the other side of the ball, now maybe I was missing, but Junior Gallette, was he?
He played a little.
Yeah, a little, but you know, I guess Preston,
I think Gallette, you play
well.
It smart. I think you want to limit his snaps to 20,
okay, but,
25.
You know, you got a guy who you're not getting, who you're not, you know, you're not getting, you're getting at the quarterback, you're not getting to him. I might give him a little bit more run there on some of those third and longs.
What do you think that kangaroo court fine is for Ryan Anderson? For lining up offsides for that.
I asked Gallette about the rookie taking his sack. He's like, oh, man, it's a rookie. He'll learn. He wasn't mad about it. I think if they win that game, then they're allowed to give him a lot of grief. But when you lose, it's a little different. I think this team could still use Trent Murphy, man.
Well, guess what?
Not going to have him.
Right.
Not going to have him.
Yo, were you surprised that Anderson was active?
A little bit, yeah.
I also just bit my thumb so much I'm bleeding right now, which is pretty stupid.
That was
just a nice roundup of the day.
Yeah. We all
self-inflicted
wounds. You know what? On that, I think it's time to wrap, fellas.
That sounds like a fantastic idea. Please don't bleed on me.
Okay.
Chandler, tell them the schedule for the week.
Well, let's see. Jay Gruden press conference tomorrow, and we got all kinds of programming on CSN.
Yeah, I tell tomorrow, you what. Are we allowed to promote this new show? Because I'm about to.
We're going to.
Well, here we go. So we have a new show coming tomorrow, Redskins 100, where we're going to dive into every bit of this game. And we're going to really get some insight from people that know what they are talking about. Tune in for that. I'll be tweeting it out and stuff.
It's going to be a fun show. It's going to be very social. There's going to be a lot of opportunities for you, the fans, to hop in and interact with us. So please make sure you're following CSN Redskins and keep an eye out for those opportunities.
All right, we're wrapping here because I think people are about to kick us out of our spot. Here is the deal. Podcast is coming out now, so you'll listen to it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We'll have a new one for you on Wednesday, which Chandler, you and I will have to coordinate. Then we both leave for L.A. Friday, so we're going to have to figure out if that podcast comes out Friday morning, which it probably should. That's the plan. Expect Wednesday and Friday new stuff from Chandler and I. Check CSN Mid-Atlantic. Check all of our social stuff. And thank you guys for listening. Sorry we don't have better news for you after week one. RT, you want to take us out?
Yeah. You know, a game that they could have won, but they didn't deserve to win. From FedEx Field, Chandler, Mitch, JP.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.